Welcome to Unyielded, thriving no matter what. In a world of constant change and challenges, it can seem hard to keep up, no matter how hard we run. Yet we all know those people who seem to handle everything with grace and grit. Seemingly, nothing throws them off their game. They are engaged in what matters most to them, they are achieving the success they desire. In other words, they are creating the life they love to live, no matter what challenges and surprises show up. We call them Unyielded. My name is Bobby Kaler, and I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. I mentioned that it's a journey, and you might find yourself anywhere along that path. You may be starting out, you may be mid-career, or considering your next career. You could be an entrepreneur, a salesperson, or you may be that person who just feels like something else is calling to you, and it's time for a change. My mission is to provide stories that inspire us, so that when a surprise shows up and threatens to derail us, we will choose to persist. I will also provide practical skills, perspectives, and ideas that will help us create the habits of thriving and flourishing. Because at the end of the day, it is all about providing hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. Let's get right to today's episode. My guest today is the father of soft leadership. He's an international leadership guru with 40 years of experience, and he's also the author of 50 books, including the award-winning See the Light in You. And the foreword for that book was written by the Dalai Lama. He is very passionate about serving others and making a difference in the lives of others. He is a regular contributor to Entrepreneur Magazine, and I think that you will hear his passion for sharing his knowledge. His name is Professor Rao, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. Professor Rao, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on your show. And hello, listeners. Greetings from India.
Yeah, we should say, what time is it in India right now?
It's midnight.
Midnight?
In the night, yeah. 1:30 in the midnight in India. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And you're making time to be on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I'm passionate about sharing my knowledge.
Yeah.
And express my gratitude to you for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And thank you for making the time. Thank you for being here. And you said that you're passionate about sharing your knowledge. I know in the research I did, you've written, it's more than 50 books at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, 50 books I have read.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we're going to talk about a couple of those books. Let's start with, you're known as the father of soft leadership. So yeah. I thought maybe we should start with, what is soft leadership and why is it important?
Soft leadership is a blend of soft skills and leadership. 10 years back, when I was conducting training programs in India for senior executives, they expressed that they were not happy with the prevailing leadership styles. Then I found that there was a gap. So since I'm a researcher and I earned my PhD in soft skills, so I started doing research and I have coined soft leadership. This soft leadership is basically leading people through soft skills. It's to emphasize people orientation without compromising task orientation. And it requires a unique mindset, skill set, and tool set. It has got 11 C's I would like to share with you. Character, charisma, commitment, conscience, courage, communication, compassion, consistency, consideration, contribution, and conviction. So these are the 11 C's that collectively constitute soft leadership. I have written 6 books on soft leadership. And this is a book. 6 books I have written on soft leadership. This is a book soft leadership for which the father of modern HR, my friend Dale Ulrich, has written a foreword.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was published 10 years ago.
Wow.
And total six books have been published. So the latest book on soft leadership is Soft Leadership, A New Direction to Leadership, which has been published recently. And I have dedicated that book to Peter Drucker because I admire him. And Philip Kotler, the father of modern marketing, has written a foreword for the book.
Yeah.
And it's one more coincidence is that Dale Ulrich has created a leadership code for my 11C. So he has given sanctity to this soft leadership. So I have published several research papers, including Leader to Leader, General Emerald. So various journals I have published. So I got a lot of interest. Then I started doing research. Then I want this soft leadership to be expanded to even the nations.
Yeah.
So this is basically about soft leadership.
Very nice. So I have a couple questions for you. First of all, could you show me that book again, the soft leadership one?
Yeah.
That you just had that. Because
sure.
I'm curious about the subtitle. It says "Make others feel more important." Tell me about that subtitle. The "Make others feel more important."
Yeah, this is forward.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, I was not encouraged since childhood, and I didn't have any mentor. I was born in a toxic family and grew up in a toxic environment. I underwent several challenges. So since I faced those challenges, I thought, you know, let me help the people, let me praise the people. So I have the habit of spotting some good qualities in people and elevating them and telling them so that, you know, they can explore those areas. It's like, you know, I am like a gemologist. I can identify the gems. So when I taught in educational institutions, I identify the strength of a student. Then I tell that student that you are having this strength, try to explore. And let me share one research finding. Most of the Nobel laureates, they are successful because when they were young, they were spotted by their teachers, mentors, and coaches. Since they were spotted by their mentors, coaches, teachers in the early age, so they started working in those directions, and finally they have become Nobel laureates. So I have the practice of praising the people, appreciating the people by nature. So I have given that as a subtitle, Make Others Feel More Important.
Yeah, I love that. Because I think when leaders do that and they do that well, that's the type of leader that we really want to follow. We want to support. Is that what you have found as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. See, now there is too much of attrition across the world. Some of the employees, they are not happy with the bosses. So I think when you follow this soft leadership, what happens, there won't be any leaders and subordinates, and there will be only partners working towards progress. So what happens when you praise the people in the workplace, you can engage the employees effectively, you can motivate them, you can retain the employees. That's how you can do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now you said something earlier too. When you're talking about soft leadership, you said, you know, it's not sacrificing that need to complete tasks or to get things done, right?
Yeah. You rightly got the point. Yeah. So people mistake that, you know, sacrificing tasks. See, the idea of soft leadership is to focus on people orientation without compromising task orientation. Yeah, you rightly got the point.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times, you know, I do a lot of work with managers, right? Leadership training with managers. And I think a lot of times people think, you know, the soft skills, so to speak, that means that we're not paying attention to the things that need to be done. And I'm like, no, it's just, it makes it makes us more effective in getting those things done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So now your newest book is See the Light in You, correct?
Yeah. I've written so many books, 50 books I have written.
I know. I don't know how you keep them all straight. You know? So now that one was it the foreword that was written by the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, I'll show you the book. Okay. Yeah, this is the book titled See the Light in You, for which His Holiness Dalai Lama has written a foreword for this book.
Unbelievable.
Okay. I requested, because whenever I write a book, I approach the accurate person to write a foreword.
Yeah.
So if I write about leadership, I approach Marshall. Marshall is a good friend of mine. He has written two forewords, one for me and one for my son, Daval, which Jim coaches. All thinkers, they know me very well, and they wrote forewords, including Philip Kotler. Philip Kotler is kind, has been kind to write foreword for one of my books. So when I wrote this book, then I requested His Holiness Dalai Lama, because this is about spirituality and mindfulness. So he's the right person. So I approached, and he's very kind to write a foreword for this book.
Yeah, that is amazing. So, you know, I think that some people could be intimidated by reaching out to His Holiness. So what, you know, what made you try that? Reaching out?
Very, Yeah, no, I'm very ambitious. Okay, I'm ambitious and I'm realistic in my dreams. Okay, I don't daydream. So I'm very ambitious. I came from a toxic family background, I told you, no. So at the age of 18, I joined Indian Air Force. So I have been working very hard and I have come up to this level because I have been a hard worker. Within a span of 10 years, I have written 50 books. So you can understand how much hard work I put in.
Yeah.
And morning 4 o'clock, I get up. Night 10 o'clock, I sleep. This is my routine. And I always read books. Books are my best friends. I don't have any friends. Only books are my best friends. So what happened, when I wrote this, I requested His Holiness Dalai Lama. So he has written a foreword. And really, I'm very lucky. It's a true honor that I have received a foreword from a Nobel laureate.
Yeah. So you said something there about, well, it triggered a question for me to write 50 books. I mean, I've written one book and I've been included in some others. And I know the work that goes into it. Where do you get that kind of motivation and that kind of discipline to put that work in?
It's very simple. I told you, I was born in a toxic family, grew up in a toxic environment. At the age of 18, I dropped out of my college to support my parents. Then I joined military. So when I joined military, means automatically I developed a positive attitude. I kept working very hard. So yeah. I acquired qualifications in military only. 6 qualifications I acquired in military. I acquired my degree, diploma, then various qualifications I acquired in military. When my friends were enjoying with the drink and other things, I never, I was busy with reading books in Indian Air Force. And I sacrificed my personal time also. Then every year we get around 2 months of leave. Even that leave also, I utilize it for my education. So the discipline has started from Indian Air Force. And I always grab positive things. I remove negative things by default from my mind. So that discipline has brought me up to this level. So that discipline I acquired from Indian Air Force and the kind of attitude that I have built from Indian Air Force, that has brought me up to this level. So I'm always grateful to Indian Air Force.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I kind of come from a humble background, and there was some weirdnesses in my childhood. And I think it almost makes you work harder.
Yeah. I told you, morning 4 o'clock, I wake up, night 10 o'clock, I sleep. This is my daily routine.
Wow.
And my wife supports me very much. She's a nice woman. And I don't have money and all, but I'm basically passionate about acquiring knowledge, sharing my knowledge. Although I don't have money, I don't have resources, still I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm passionate about education and learning since my childhood.
Yeah. I love that. So that's, I'm glad that you're sharing some of those habits, because that was one of the things I looked on. Oh, I think it was one of your, I don't know, it was on your website, but it was like things you don't know about you, right? And you talked about, some of your habits and beliefs, right? And I love those.
Yeah.
And there were a few I really wanted to dig into. And because the first one here in the U.S., a lot of people like to multitask. And the science is kind of clear. Multitasking doesn't make us more effective. And you said that you don't multitask, but you really focus. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, before I speak to that, let me show you one more book on habits. I have created 21 habits in this book titled Spark.
Yeah, so it's Spark.
So this is Spark. The title of the book is Spark, in which, it outlines 21 habits.
Nice.
This book contains 21 habits. So one of the thing is about multitasking. The thing is, I'm personally against multitasking because multitasking is a buzzword in the corporate world, and people do multitask, but as an author, I'm very creative. So I take up one task, do it, I justify, then move on to the next task. See, every day morning when I wake up, I express my gratitude to God, then pray to that day, I plan 3 tasks that I have to be done today. So one day before itself, I plan. And I feed my subconscious mind. So tomorrow morning, I'm waking up and I'm going to do 3 tasks. So once I wake up, because already I have fed my subconscious mind with the tasks that have to be done in the following day. So out of those 3 tasks, I take up 1 task and do it. After doing that task, then I go to the next task. That's how I do it. As an author, I think it's better to avoid multitasking. Focus on one thing at a time. So I'm successful in that way because my creative juices keep flowing when I'm highly focused. So I'm very much focused on my goals and objectives.
Yeah. So if I heard you right, you plan the 3 things the night before.
Yeah.
I personally do that. And I'm curious because I find I'm more effective that way when I plan the night before or the day before, like when I'm wrapping up. Why do you plan the night before versus that morning?
So it's a very good question. See, research shows that when you feed your subconscious mind one day before, what happens? It will be effective 18 times. That means whatever the commands that you give it to your subconscious mind before you go to bed, half an hour before you go to bed. So they will be processed 18 times. So 18 times so that will have an impact. Next day morning, automatically your mind, body language, everything changes. You can become. So many ancient sages, saints said, you can become the way you want to become. It's correct. Why? Because it all depends on the power of subconscious mind. So the only thing you must know how to leverage that subconscious mind. So I leverage my subconscious mind in such a way that I unlock my potential and also I unlock my creativity and my creative juices keep flowing.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I'm kind of chuckling because it reminds me way back when I was in college, I took algebra and it wasn't my favorite.
mathematics. Even I was good at mathematics.
Yeah.
In India, so we have trigonometry, algebra. I don't know whether you have in your country. Have you heard trigonometry, algebra, trigonometry, all those things?
Oh, all of those. And it was funny because like I'd be studying at night and I'd be confused. Like, I don't know what this is. And I'd go to sleep. And then like at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up and it was like, that's what that's about. And I think my subconscious mind was working on it.
That is 18 times more powerful when you give commands to your subconscious mind before you go to bed. So you will have impact. You will have result 18 times. So this is a very powerful thing. People don't understand. People don't appreciate. They can explore.
Yeah.
So if you want to win a Nobel Prize, you can still win a Nobel Prize. It's not a big deal. Only thing you have to feed your subconscious mind that I am getting a Nobel Prize. So what happens automatically, your body language, mindset, everything goes in that direction. So you'll be able to fulfill your goals. So that's how it is.
Yeah. And you said when we do that, we're 18 times more powerful, like creativity or?
You rightly said 18 times you will have more impact if you give commands to your subconscious mind 30 minutes before you go to bed.
Yeah, that is awesome. What a great habit to share though. So there's a couple others too. And I know that you're a big believer in, you say, taking feedback.
So you have done a lot of research. Really, you are very passionate about what you do. You are adding a lot of value to the communities. I've listened to your podcast and I've seen your website. You are doing really a great job. So the greatness lies with you is that when you take up something, you are very serious and you are very much committed. So this is the greatness I have noticed. When I approached you to be a guest for a podcast, you said, let me take some more time. So you took some more time, but you came with, after doing a lot of research, you came with questions. So really, that shows how much committed you are. That shows how much dedicated you are. That shows how much you are passionate about what you do. Really, this is one of the greatest qualities I have seen in you.
Wow. Nice. Well, thank you. And I do like to do my research, you know, and the other thing about it, when you first reached out, I had so many projects going on and I thought I want to be able to give the right amount of time. You know, I want to honor the request and I didn't want to just, you know, hurry through it. Cause many times we hurry through things. You know what I mean?
No. Be cool. You are very cool. I am also cool. That's better.
Yeah. Okay. So another.
Now you asked one question about feedback, right? So shall I respond to that? I think it was right.
Yeah.
See, throughout my life, I believe two things. One is continuous learning. Second is feedback. So what I do when after completion of each training program, I take feedback, whether people are happy with me or not. After completion of every podcast, I talk to the host to find out the areas where I need to improve. And after writing the book also, I take feedback from the readers. So throughout my life, I believed in continuous learning. I keep learning every day. Although I'm 57 years old, right from my childhood, I have been learning and growing. I'm not intelligent again. I'm a dyslexic. And with attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. That means I had a chaos disorder, but as I matured, you know, so I became cool and composed. So these are the challenges I had. But despite the challenges, my continuous learning has helped me. is one. Secondly, feedback also I take. These two things I always take. These two feedbacks brought me up to this level. So feedback is essential. We need to take it. And we shouldn't have any false ego. Even if someone criticizes, we should take it positively. So I encourage feedback from students, from readers, and podcast hosts, and from all the sources. I take feedback in a positive sense because that feedback helps me to grow big. Somebody said, Ken Blanchard, my friend who's on my LinkedIn, I think he only told, feedback is the breakfast of champions. I don't know whether you heard it or not. So Ken Blanchard is on my LinkedIn. So he said, I think he only said it, feedback is the breakfast of champions. Okay, so we need to take feedback.
Nice. I like how you call it the breakfast of champions. You know? So let me ask you this, because feedback, I think that sometimes there are those people, you know, that we can be defensive when we get feedback.
Yeah, I agree with you. Why? Because, see, feedback means it should be issue-based, not individual-based. You can attack the idea, but not the individual. Okay. When you attack the individual, that's wrong. See, I have every right to disagree with you, and you have every right to disagree with me. Okay, that's fine. But I can't attack you personally. Okay. Similarly, you can't attack me personally. So when people attack personally, then it becomes a challenge. So feedback has to be taken in a constructive manner. Feedback has to be issue-based. It should be fought based on ideas. Okay. It should not, this feedback should not be used as a tool to attack the people personally. Okay.
Right. And you know what? I that's a great point, because I think a lot of times people confuse when they're giving feedback, they make it personal. And that doesn't feel good.
See, you can give sandwich feedback. I think you must be aware. So if you want to give a feedback, start with one positive statement, then followed by negative correction, then again follow and ending with a positive statement, which is known as sandwich feedback. So you need to sandwich the area of improvement. That means you have to start with a positive statement. So then again, you need to correct the person. Then again, at the end, again, you have to speak positive. So it is known as sandwich feedback. I think it helps a lot.
Yeah. And I think that the being very intentional about not making it personal.
Not to attack
the person.
You rightly said. You rightly got the point. I'll be important, please.
I had a friend, this was years ago, and she'd always say, well, I'm just being honest. And it's like, yes, you're being honest, but there's no compassion with your honesty. And she'd always wonder why people got upset with her. And it's like, because you're tearing them down and people don't want to be torn down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I also wanted to ask you, you said conscious learning.
Yeah.
Tell me more about what you mean by conscious learning.
See, now the technology is both a boon and a bane. See, earlier when I was in childhood, I used to go far distant places to acquire education. I used to go to libraries physically with my bicycle. Okay, I used to go in that way. So for the last 15 years, what happens? We are bombarded with a lot of information. Okay, so which is known as information overload. So it is. It has become excessive. So we should be very careful of what we have to take. That is conscious learning. We should avoid all information overload. We should only take what is what really matters us, what suits our area of interest. So conscious learning helps, and this is good. We need to follow. When you learn consciously, so you should be careful about this information overload, which has become a big challenge. Okay.
Yeah. So I love what you say there about the information overload, because especially in the world today, it's really easy to be in that place, you know?
Yeah.
How does someone avoid that and really become more intentional and conscious about what they're learning?
So they have to clearly focus on what they want to do. See, there are so many distractions because of technology. So we should we should leverage technology. We should harness technology in a right way, and we should know how to draw the line between what is required and what is not required.
Yeah.
So when you can draw that line, see, when I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't go to internet emails. I keep writing because at the time for me, I'm very productive and creative. So at least 2 to 3 hours, I keep on writing. I don't go to social media. So in that way, what happens, I am focused and I do what I want to do it. So people should have discipline, self-discipline, and they should know what they want to pursue. And they shouldn't venture into all areas. So when you venture into too many areas, you end up nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense versus just kind of going along with what's put in front of us. And I think that's one of the downfalls of social media, right? It's like whatever shows up, that's kind of the trail we follow. So another one of your habits and beliefs I wanted to talk about, it was around appreciating and inspiring others.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more.
The thing is, I was not encouraged right from my childhood. So that was that is a regret I have. And I didn't have any mentor. I didn't have any teacher. I didn't have any coach since my childhood. And after I joined the Indian Air Force, I didn't study in educational institutions. I learned of my own, self-learning. Okay, so I acquired qualifications through self-learning. I didn't go to any colleges to acquire all qualifications. I acquired 7 qualifications, including PhD. But I never studied in colleges. It was purely through self-learning. Wow. So that's how it is. It has happened.
Yeah. So never having a mentor.
Yeah.
Since
I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have a coach, I didn't have a teacher to guide. Because I told some time back that most of the Nobel laureates are successful because they were identified by their coaches, they were identified by their teachers and mentors in their early life. So these Nobel laureates worked in those areas for many years, and finally they became Nobel laureates. But I was not blessed with that. So I don't want others to suffer because I suffered. So that is the reason, you know, I start praising the people, appreciating the people. When I go to gym daily, I pick up 1 or 2 guys. Hi, how are you? You are good, really. You are amazing. So yeah. Then I highlight one quality because I have a fair knowledge about psychology. So I take 1 or 2 points. I tell, this is the area you are having. Really, you are having this. So you can explore. So most of the people take in a very positive sense. Because it's a free counseling I'm giving. So yeah. They are very happy. Free counseling. So not only that, when I see, in your case, you know, I told some time back that you are very much committed. You are very much dedicated. You are very much passionate. You do a lot of research about the guest before the podcast. And you don't make any rash decisions. You take very calculated decisions. Then you jump into it. So this is your strength. So this is how I do it.
Yeah. And when I think about that, not having the mentors, because not everybody does, you know, and it's one of those things where I think there's a human need where we like to give back to others. You know, we like to be part of someone else's journey. Is that one of the reasons why you're so passionate about sharing your knowledge?
I have one vision, 2030, 1 million global leaders. So, which is a non-profit one I started. Even I have a blog also. So, what I do, by 2030, I want to build 1 million students as global leaders. That's the vision I started. It's a non-profit one. So far, I've trained 40,000 students. But after the COVID global pandemic, things have changed because physically, I'm not in a position to go to educational institutions because things have become online. Things have become virtual. So I'm sharing my knowledge virtual. Yeah. So I want to give back something to the society because life is very short. And whatever is possible, we should do it. See, Mother Teresa said, too many drops become a mighty ocean. So the ocean is incomplete without a single drop. So I want to do a single drop of my service. Okay, I can't do big things, great things, because I have my own financial challenges and constraints. But within my capacities, what I can do is appreciate the people, spot their talents, and elevate their talents so they can work and grow in their life. So this has come to me because I was not blessed with all these things. So I don't want others to suffer because I suffered. Okay,
yeah.
So that's why I started giving back to the society within the available resources.
Yeah, I love that. And it makes perfect sense too. You know, it's kind of along the lines of like when we learned from something for ourselves that we needed to learn, we instinctively want to share it with others. So there is, you have a number of blogs and videos around you have a lot of them and I love it. But a lot of them are around the concept of taking ownership of your life, you know, Is that important to you because of your upbringing? Because it, like, you know, you said, like, the toxic family.
Yeah, you said right. You are very smart and brilliant. So it's because of that background. See, you are the creator of your own destiny. You can't play a victim card that you were born. So if you look at Barack Obama, he was not blessed with everything. He was from humble origins. Barack Obama. Okay, so he became president of America. So he's a role model for many people. So we can't blame the people. We can't blame the circumstances. We need to take an action, and we must create our own destiny. So I can't blame parents. I can't blame my relatives who betrayed. But whatever is possible, I must create my own destiny. That's what I believe in it. I take in charge of my life, and I try to do as much as I can. And I'm surrounded with books. So I'm very much in charge of my life, and I want to lead my life the way I'm leading. I'm quite happy and I'm quite comfortable.
Yeah. And I could not agree with you more, because that's a big thing about, you know, for me, taking charge of your life, being the author of your own life.
Yeah, you said correct. Be author of your own life. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll never forget, I was in my late 20s and I was seeing a therapist because there were some things from my past, like with my childhood, you know, there was some violence there, and I was working my way through it. And I remember my therapist said to me, you're not responsible for what happened to you when you were a child, right? I didn't do anything to deserve to be beat or anything like that. And she said, but you are responsible for what you do with your life from this day forward. And I thought, that's a marvelous distinction, because what happened when I was a kid, I didn't have a ton of control over that, but what did I want my life to be from that point forward? And that I do have control over. At least I can do my best with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I read, I think, your article, Be Other of Your Own Life. Even you based on some, I have done research about your work. You are doing amazing work. Then I have done a little bit of research and uploaded videos also. Be the other of your own life and take responsibility like that. You know, I have done it.
Yeah.
So we have a similar mindset. So I appreciate it. Be the other of your own life. Yeah.
Nice. And now there were at least four, you had a lot of different things people could do, but there were a few that I wanted to kind of dig into. One of them was avoid negative self-talk. If we're going to really take charge of our life, why is that so important?
See, negative self-talk kills the people. See, we should have optimism. We shouldn't have any cynicism and pessimism. So we have inner dialogue. We call it our self-talk or internal conversation. So that can be channeled in a right way. So people have negative self-talk because of their bitter experiences or because of their unpleasant things in the past. So sometimes they may carry their emotional baggage. So what we should do is, we should not carry any emotional baggage. Let bygones be bygones, because everyone has some challenges. Everyone has some dark story. Everyone has some unpleasant things. So what we need to do is, don't think about the unpleasant past. Don't worry about the future, which we can't predict. So we should learn to live in the present. We should be mindful so that, you know, we can lead our life with purpose and meaning. So that's how it is.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think sometimes when you mention self-talk, some people kind of roll their eyes like, oh, it's just self-talk. But what we say to ourselves, it matters. So when I read that, I'm like, I completely agree, because I just think the way we talk to ourselves and what we say to ourselves can really affect us.
And let me add one more thing. This negative self-talk, you know, it happens, right? Because human mind is basically negative. Okay. According to the research, you know, we get around 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts in a day. And mostly we get negative thoughts. That is the reason why, you know, media talks negative things. Social media talks negative things. And we get attracted to negative things. We negative things like a magnet, you know, we are attracted to negative things. That's the reason why the media exploits the human emotions by talking negative things. Because when we talk negative, we get attracted to it and we focus on what is that. But whereas when someone talks positive, many of the people, they don't care about the positive things. So basically, it's a human psychology where we get negative thoughts. So we need to replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts, with a positive attitude. When you have the positive attitude, what happens? we overcome that negative self-talk. And when we have goals, what happens? You don't have time to think about negative things. See, morning 4 to night 10 o'clock, I'm busy with my goals. Where is the time for negative people? Where is the time for negative talk? You just tell me. I tell to many people, the moment you set goals, you keep moving forward in that direction. All negativity will go away because you are focused on some positive things. So set goals, work hard in that direction. Automatically, your negative self-talk will go away. But sometimes people will surround us with negative things. So we should also surround with good books, and we should also surround with positive people. So when we surround with positive people, what happens? Again, if we have some negative things, the positive people around us will help us to think positive.
Yeah.
Similarly, when some of the people have negative things, you know, I can tell, oh, this is not good, don't do it. Because human mind is such, you know, we take negative things more, as I told, according to research. So when we have positive friends, healthy people around us, sometimes mind goes negative. So they will correct us. Similarly, we can correct them because they also tend to get negative ideas.
Yeah. I think when you were saying surround yourself with positive people.
Yeah.
That is huge. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. I heard someone say it this way once, like we become what we surround ourselves with.
Yeah, yeah. You know? someone said you are the average of 4 people to associate something like that. I can't remember that quote. Somebody told.
Yeah.
The average of 4 people you maintain friendship with.
So yeah.
When you have all positive people, you will have all positive people.
Yeah. Well, and especially now, like all the research that's been done out there on like social intelligence and how emotions are contagious, when you're around those people and they're negative, you feel your energy come down. Yeah. And conversely, when you're around people who are positive, you feel your energy come up. So just to be intentional with that is, I think, incredibly important. One other tip that I wanted to get into, because this is another one that I personally love, but you said control what you can.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
See, if weather goes wrong, what you can do, you can't do anything. So you develop a right attitude. See, there are certain things you can control. See, you and I are talking over internet, okay, through Zoom. If suddenly there is a power cut, what you can do, what I can do, right? Mm-hmm. So that is something which is beyond our control. So we should only think about what we can control, and we should not bother for the things which are beyond our control.
Yeah. And so
see,
many...
for instance, COVID-19 has come.
Right.
So it's an external challenge, you know, global pandemic. Coronavirus is a big challenge. So we have to accept it and we are coming out of it. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you find, because I know in my coaching, I find a lot of times people will, they fall into the trap of thinking about and worrying about the things that they cannot control. And I mean, I think about Stephen Covey's research way, you know, from yeah. I don't know, way back in the day, right? That just makes us more stressed out. Do you find that sometimes people do that as well? They spend a lot of time focusing on the things that they can't control.
See, again, you know, I read several articles, you know, when you you should focus on positive things. We find I read articles from Entrepreneur Magazine. I contribute to Entrepreneur Magazine. Then First Company. Then again, they start with negative statements. These are the things you should not do.
Oh, you're right.
Instead of saying positive things, things you should not do it. They start in that way. Because to attract people. So
that's
it's
right.
Like that, you know. So negativity, see, Stephen Covey came out with the 7 habits, you know, that I think teamwork, then again, be proactive, like that, you know, he came out with 7 habits. I think 8th habit he came out with, I think, I don't know, maybe feedback. I don't know exactly.
It was about, like discover your voice or I love the 8th habit. Now I'm blank. I loved the book and I'm blanking on what it was.
So his son is also, I think, M.R. Covey, I think.
Yeah.
He's also on my connection. He also wrote a couple of books. Okay. So people, you know, things you should do. Okay. Now in my blog, I have the things you don't know about Professor M.S. Rao. You have seen my blog, you know, things you don't know about Professor M.S. Rao. It is something it's to attract the people. People get attracted to negative things, not positive things. This is a challenge.
Yeah. Wow. So there, okay. So this is just me being super, super curious. Okay. But you had a quote on that post. It was at the bottom. It was by Maya Angelou. And it was, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. What does that quote mean to you? Yeah.
And I like that. It's my personal life. See, Maya Angelou underwent several challenges. Oprah Winfrey admires Maya Angelou. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she underwent so many challenges. Even Oprah Winfrey underwent so many challenges. Mm-hmm. Even I underwent so many challenges. People think, you know, I have written 50 books. That's correct. People think I am father of soft leadership. And then I am an international leadership. All that are good, but I have my own challenges. How I was betrayed, what kind of challenges I underwent. So all those things, you know, there are certain things. So what I do, you know, I write. When I write, you know, I get relief.
Mm.
When people talk, you know, they get relief. For me, writing is a therapy. When I write, you know, if I have a problem, I write. When I write, it goes out. It's like, you know, journaling. So I do that. So my life has been full of struggles, sufferings, you know, betrayals. So nobody knows it. So I just write down. And even I want to write my own autobiography. So maybe after a few years from now, so I'll be able to write my autobiography to inspire the people. They should understand the challenges I underwent to come up to this level. Because nobody has given me brand. Nothing has come to me on a platter. I have my own challenges. So there's nothing wrong in sharing challenges, you know.
Yeah. I think that when we share our challenges, it makes us more human.
Yes, you rightly said. Yeah. It mm-hmm. makes us human. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
I think a lot of times, too, you can look at someone who's successful and you think, oh, well, they don't have challenges. And it's like, no, every single person that we meet has challenges.
I agree with you. So people think, you know, Bill Gates doesn't have any challenges. He just made money.
Yeah.
People think Mark Zuckerberg has made money simply like that. Elon Musk made money like that. Jeff Bezos made money like that. See, everyone has challenges. Okay. So only thing, they might be a bit lucky. That's it. But they all work hard. Okay. We don't know their internal challenges. They took risks and they worked hard and a little bit of luck favored and they became celebrities. They became successful entrepreneurs. So it's like that. For some people, success comes early. For some people, success comes in the middle of life. For some people, success comes at the last stage of life. So we can't say when the success comes, but definitely it comes when we work hard, when we work smart, when we work wise.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's really well said. So, and it's almost like a perfect way to kind of segue to this. But so if people want to follow you, if they want to learn more about your books, if they want to reach out to you, what is the best way for someone to do that?
I don't own any website. When people type on search engines, Professor M. S. Rao. M means motivation, S means success, R-U-O Rao. When they type on search engines, they can find my blog. They can find my LinkedIn. They can find my Amazon, where they can find all my books. They can purchase my books. And I have a blog where I regularly post articles. I share free stuff every day. And also I have two YouTube channels. So I'm focusing more on YouTube channels, especially after the coronavirus pandemic. There is more impact on YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And I started focusing more on YouTube channels. So people can find me. Only thing, they have to type Professor M. S. Rao. They can find me on Twitter. They can find me on LinkedIn. I have a blog, Vision 2030, 1 million global leaders. On Amazon, if they type Professor M. S. Rao, they can find all my books. And on YouTube also, they will find.
Perfect. And then we'll also put those in the show notes as well, some of those links that people can find you very easily. Because you have a ton to offer. And, you know, you were talking about your YouTube. I mean, are you doing a new YouTube video every day?
Yeah, I almost every day I'm uploading a video. I started from January 2021. Daily, I'm uploading one video.
Wow.
So I have made a commitment. Daily, one video I have to upload. So I have a better mind. So I'm uploading videos. I schedule them at least 3-4 days in advance. I schedule them. And I keep doing because people, you know, they are more into videos, especially after the global pandemic.
Yeah.
So we need to reinvent. It's earlier, you know, interviews were done through articles and through written stuff. But now interviews are happening through Zoom. Interviews are happening. There is more focus on podcasts across the world.
Yeah.
So people thought, you know, there won't be any feature for podcasts, but there's a good feature for podcasts nowadays. So we need to reinvent with the changing times and technologies. And we should Someone said, Alvin Toffler, he said, illiterates of the 21st century are not the people who can't read and write, but the people who can't learn, unlearn, and relearn. So we need to learn, unlearn, and relearn to stay updated. Otherwise, we get outdated.
Very quickly, right? That, I love that. What was that? Learn, unlearn, and relearn? Is that what you said?
It was said by Alvin Toffler.
Nice.
Alvin Toffler said, he said it. It's not my quote.
Yeah.
So illiterates of the 21st century are not the people who can't read and write.
Ah, that's right. That's
but
right.
The people who can't learn, who can't unlearn, who can't relearn. It was said by Alvin Toffler.
Yeah.
It's not my quote.
I just saw that recently. I wonder if that was some, if I was looking at one of your, I don't know where I saw that, but I saw that quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. So yeah, there's a lot for people to check out. You have, you've shared so much. And I just want to thank you for being a great guest, for being here, for sharing your, and being up at midnight to do this. I feel bad.
No, not bad. See, when you have passion.
Yeah.
So you should wake up. Actually, at night, 10 o'clock, I sleep. It's midnight. It's 2 o'clock in the night. No, not 2. It's going to be 3 o'clock now, 2:20 in India.
Oh.
But I'm passionate about sharing my knowledge. So when I'm passionate and when you are committed, so we can make a good combination.
Yeah.
So I'm here to share knowledge, you know. So it's a matter of one day only, you know, I sleep late. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for being here. This was absolutely, it was a lot of fun and just a ton of value.
Thank you very much for giving me this wonderful opportunity. I express my gratitude to you. And also, I thank listeners for their time.
I hope that you found a lot of value in that conversation. I know that I did. With all of that, here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, when I think of the overall conversation, I think that something that really stood out to me is that it truly does not matter where we begin our journey. Our beginning does not determine what we can do or what we can achieve. It is simply our starting place. And I think the most important thing is to start. Number two, I loved the science behind planning your day the night before. He talked about having those three items for the following day and then how when we plan our day the night before, we are, in a sense, supercharging our brains. It's a practice that I've been doing for a while, and I kind of, you know, just, it was dumb luck, but now I understand why it works because I always feel more effective and motivated when I do that. And number three, I was intrigued by the conscious learning versus getting into information overload or just being pulled along by whatever current shows up. And we know that can happen, right? You open your email, you open up your social media, and who knows where it's going to take us. But it makes a lot of sense that if we are intentional about where we are, where we want to go, and who we want to be, then we can also really tune into being intentional with what we are learning, what we want to learn, and what we're surrounding ourselves with. And I have to say, since I switched to only doing three insights, it can sometimes be challenging, but I think it's good. So on another note, as I've mentioned before, we've been working on our new course, Start Your Future Now. And I find that the work is very rewarding because it's energizing and it's also really fun to see the intersection of my life experiences, you know, those things that I've had to learn, my coaching experience, how I've helped others, and then my grad studies all kind of come together. And so as I've mentioned also, we're giving away 5 scholarships to the course for those who are interested. And if you're interested, here are the 4 easy steps that you need to take to enter. Number one, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Number two, leave a review for the podcast. Number three, take a screenshot of your review. And then four, simply email your screenshot to hello@unyielded.net with the subject Start Program. And I just want to thank you guys again. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unyielded. We're approaching our 50th episode, and it's very exciting. I'm often asked, why did I start the podcast? Because it does take a lot of work. And the answer is always the same. It's really a labor of love. And it's something that I just love doing. And I love sharing these stories. And hopefully you guys are getting a lot of value out of it. So the end goal, of course, is that we all get to be the author of our own life. And remember, the pen is in your hand. So what will you write for your next chapter?